And Run Radio, welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy. This is the first day that I have walked in here, and I know nothing about what's going on in the sports world, the real world. I know that Loretta Lynn died today. I don't know what in the world is going on. It's been that kind of a day. Been really busy at work. Davis, you got anything for me? Or is it another interesting, just not interesting day?
I saw Loretta Lynn died. I mean, Tom Brady's getting divorced. I don't know if you saw that. That's been the main headline, sports headline today.
Well, that's about it. Yeah.
NBA preseason last night. My Grizzlies looked pretty good.
All right, show's over. We'll see him. No, we're going to be here for the next 2 hours. John Dunn is going to be joining us in hour number two at about 7:20 for his weekly appearance. We will not be doing a show tomorrow, and that is because I have an obligation that I have to take care of. You laugh because you're going to be doing it with me in a couple of weeks.
I save myself some time for legit reasons, but I don't know if I can get out of it in 2 weeks.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, you know, Davis, he's actually got some stuff that he had planned, and he's not going to be here tomorrow. I don't have anybody to do the show with me tomorrow, so I'm going to learn to curl. Like the Olympic sport, curling. You laugh because it's a funny image of me and Adam Hickman trying to walk on ice. Over, under on how many times we fall?
20.
I'll take the under. Actually, I don't know. Adam has never walked on ice.
I can't skate. I can't normally skate. I can't ice skate. I can ski and snowboard and wakeboard, but get me on ice? Yeah, no.
Well, you know, that's the thing with curling is you're not on skates. You're just wearing, like, regular tennis shoes that can be converted to curling shoes.
That whole sport is just so, like, odd to me. I don't understand how it's an Olympic sport. I don't know.
What's the weirdest Olympic sport that there is?
That?
I think there's worse.
I would say, I don't know. I would say the most odd, I think it's cool, but bobsledding, it just like doesn't make sense. But I think it's really cool, and I watch it every time. But it just doesn't seem like that'd be an Olympic sport.
You know, it's weird. Like, there are a lot of football leagues around the world. I mean, obviously we know college football here in the United States and the NFL, but there are a few leagues out there that a lot of people don't pay attention to.
CFL. I don't even know if XFL is still happening.
This is the XFL.
USFL.
Yeah, there's a league in Germany.
Like an actual American football league?
Yeah, like American-style football.
Yeah, that's wild. When you say football, I just automatically think of our football. I don't think of soccer. I don't care that much for soccer at all. The rest of my life about it.
Billy Stat says curling is much harder and takes a lot of skill. Davis not giving it the respect it deserves. You're going to find out in a couple of weeks when you go to learn to curl.
Going to F around and find out.
That's about all. That's about all we're going to do. I'm still sitting here trying to figure out how many times Adam Hickman is going to fall on ice. And you know that is going to be one of the funniest falls. I've never seen Adam fall, but I imagine it being one of the funniest falls on ice.
I didn't know it was on ice because, I don't know, I guess I just never watched it, like I said. But there was, like, down there in Destin, like this resort we stay at sometimes, there's a basketball court, and then there's the tennis courts, and then there's, like, I guess it's curling.
Shuffleboard?
Yeah, shuffleboard. Is that not what curling is?
No.
I'm lost then. I don't even know like what you're supposed to do then.
So basically, I forgot what the person's called, but the person that pushes the rock. And if you want the rock to spin and make a curve to the left, you start with your hand at 2 o'clock and move it to 10 o'clock to make it turn. And then you do the opposite if you want it to curve to the right. You have a skip at the end that tells you where you want to place the rock. I've done a little bit of research on this. Kind of excited to, not going to lie.
Watching a video right now. Norway's surprising curling victory over Canada. Day one, Winter Olympics 2018. because I don't know what you're even talking about right now. Let's see.
It's a lot more.
Her knee. What? She's not even like her. She's just dragging her knee across the ground. Oh, and then the second guy is just like, I don't
understand. So you got that person, you've got your skip that tells you where to put it, and then you have two people that have the brooms.
Well, this guy's just like aggressively mopping the ice. Like, I don't understand how that's supposed to slow it down, because he's not.
So that stops spin, and it keeps it moving faster. So if you want it to slow down, you don't do any sweeping at all. Now, if you want it to go faster, then yeah, you sweep. Creates friction.
Yeah, nah. I don't think this is for me.
No, I think it's for you. It's a requirement to be on this show. Lowe's going to do it at some point.
It's like pledship. Instead of terrorizing people, we just make them curl.
Yes, instead of going through the pledship that I went through, you just got to learn to curl.
Instead of making them hurl, you have to curl.
Yes.
Pretty much.
You ain't going to hurl. You going to learn to curl here on overtime.
Oh, gosh. I did see, though, you know this guy on Twitter. I forgot who it is, but he puts every single FBS game, like the advanced stats.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because in our game versus LSU, he gives us a 63% chance to win. But then you look at the FPI, and we're at about a 40%.
I was going to say, they dropped us on that.
I don't understand the metrics on the FPI, but let's see what it is now officially.
I would say the best metrics are probably Dave Bartu with a CFB matrix.
We're at 41.7 according to ESPN's FPI. And it is officially sold out. I don't know if you saw that yet. Yep. So.
Yeah, so Tennessee has bought out their entire allotment, which is good. And then, of course, we're going to have some other people coming in as well. Hopefully, we have a strong presence down in Baton Rouge. That's going to be vital this weekend. Now, granted, it's not a late kick. It's not a night game. It's not a 3:30 game. Those guys are basically rolling out of bed, going to the stadium, getting ready to play some football. And I'm here for it. Roll out of bed, go get ready, go play. You know, that's what they do in the Army. The earlier you wake up, the more effective you're going to be on your PT test and the more effective you're going to be during PT in general. Kickoff is at 11 o'clock this weekend. ESPN?
Yes, ESPN.
That's what I thought.
I think it's Sean McDonough and Blackledge again, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we're 1-0 with them.
Hopefully no hot mics this time.
I love hot mics. As long as it's not mine. That's all I care about. As long as it's not my mic that is hot, that's all that matters.
Man, I'm just looking at the stats for this game. LSU gives up, on average so far this year on defense, 293 yards a game. So something has to give. Either we're going to keep going, and because we're putting up 560 yards per game. So that's a pretty big difference. I mean, that's almost 260 yard difference between the amount of yards we put up on offense and the amount they give up on defense. So something has to give, and hopefully we're just going to keep doing our thing, because we saw out of the bye week last year against Missouri, we just came out hitting on all cylinders. And if we do that this Saturday, I think it's could be a similar game, honestly.
It very well might. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is up first. What's up, TJ? TJ, you with me?
Hey, I'm here. What's up?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, not a lot. Hey, you know, I think, and don't take this as disrespect. I know, oh, it's Kentucky. Well, don't take this as disrespect. I think you're overplaying this LSU game a little bit. Some of your fans and Russell and y'all are going to dog walk them, man. I know that you got a 58% chance of winning on LSU side with the FPI or whatever they call it these days, but Kentucky beat LSU last year by 3 touchdowns. I know it's a little different team. They got some new players here and there, first-year coach. But, man, there's no way, and I mean this, There's no way this is closer than a 14, maybe even a 21-point game.
So you're saying we're going to go down there and absolutely just walk the dog?
I think the final score is going to be ending up something like 35 or 42 to maybe 17-24.
Wow. I would take that.
I would not be upset about it.
Now, look, my Florida prediction, if y'all wouldn't have backed off the throttle, was pretty close because I think I said like 38-17. It ended up being 38-33 because it was 38-17 with like 8 minutes to go.
38-21.
21, okay, yeah. 21. So, man, I really don't see how this game. Now, could it happen? Of course it could. It could. Everything, just like the Kentucky game versus Ole Miss, everything that could go against us went against us. Could that happen? Absolutely it could. Would my money be on that? Absolutely not.
So I get what you're saying, and I don't know if it's just the history that we've had in Baton Rouge since the turn of the century, but I do feel like we're going to win the game, but I think it's going to be a one-possession game, given how hard it is to win on the road in the SEC. And, I mean, we've seen that, you know, with Kentucky this past weekend, and then you see Alabama struggling in spurts, you know, against Arkansas, and then you see Georgia have the struggles they did against Missouri. You know, I just hope that we don't fall victim to that, and if we do, I mean, you just got to pull it out at the end. That's all that matters, is to walk out of there with that win.
Look, brother, I know all about the, oh, that's so Kentucky football. I get it. I've lived it for years. When Ole Miss went up 14-0 on us in the first quarter, I said, oh, here we go. Kentucky football's back. Kentucky football is back. We're about to lose 49-0, and our season's going to get derailed. But you got to change that mindset because obviously you saw it was a good game. We had our chances to win. I just don't see how Tennessee goes down there, loses, or even gets pummeled. That quarterback they got, you can tell. What's his name? I forgot his name.
Jaden Daniels.
You can tell that kid does not have any. He does not have any confidence in his arm. You saw that against Auburn.
No, and his completion percentage is pretty bad also. And he has no confidence in his throwing, you're right.
Well, I guess I can kind of see where you're coming from as well, TJ, because they barely beat Auburn. And Auburn has a coach that's basically fighting for his job or is trying to lose his job, I guess, at this point. I mean, if he wants the buyout, he's going to just throw games. I mean, the thing is, they struggled against Auburn. And, you know, I don't know what LSU team we're going to get. I don't know if we're going to go down there and go nose-to-nose with them all game or if we're just going to go down there, kick the door wide open, and just air it out and run it down their throat.
Hey, look here. If I could give y'all right now 11-1 as Tennessee fans, I could give y'all right now 11-1 SEC East champions in the SEC championship, but you get drilled by Kentucky in Knoxville, would you take it?
Yes.
Yes.
Heck, I would too. I thought y'all was about to say no.
No, I'd take that in a heartbeat. I would take that in a heartbeat.
I would too, but I don't think Georgia's that good. I really don't. I really do not. Missouri played them good. I think the East this year is between three teams. That's Kentucky, that's Tennessee, and that's Georgia. Georgia has the slight edge over Tennessee. Tennessee has the slight edge over Kentucky. To me, anything could happen. We still got 8 weeks to go, man. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it, TJ. Let's keep it rolling before we go to break. Fake Bob is up next. What's up, Fake Bob?
How you doing, fellas?
Doing good.
Yeah, so I think we're going to have a close game with LSU Saturday. Even though it's going to be 11 o'clock kickoff, I mean, they sold off their stadium. Any kind of team that we've played that has a heartbeat of an offense has given our defense trouble. And I'm really worried about their defensive ends against our tackles. And I think that could cause us problems if we don't block or get the ball out quick.
I see where you're coming from. And I mean, at that point, you know, like we've said in the preseason and even through week 1 and week 2, I mean, it's one of those deals. This is a prime example of how we could use our passing game to kind of open up our run game, mm-hmm. in a sense, because everyone's expecting us to throw the ball down the field, throw bubble screens, whatever it may be. And I'm okay with bubble screens. If I can get 5 yards of play on a bubble screen, run 50 of them a game, I don't care, as long as we're moving the ball down the field. But I think that this might be a game where our running backs kind of step up, kind of shine.
It's going to be tough, but I mean, if they do, then that's a good sign for us. With Hendon's shoulder as like it is, we don't need him running as much as we've been using him in bigger games.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because all it takes is, it just takes one hit, and I'd rather him be healthy for Alabama than run him 10, 12 times against LSU, so... Our running backs are going to have to step up.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Davis.
I mean, LSU, looking at the stats, they only give up 109 rushing yards per game. So, I mean, but like Jake said, once you open them up a little bit, then you have the whole playbook open. You can run play action, just run it, do whatever you want.
Yeah. And on my way out, I'm going to leave with this. What do you all think is going to be – like maybe a game changer? Like, I feel like maybe if we put Squirrel White, I know we've been saying it for a while now, put him at a punt return or something. A big punt return can change the game, but in y'all's mind, what could be a game changer? I ain't got to listen.
Appreciate it, Fake Bob. So something that would be a game changer for me, a pick six or a scoop and score. Give me a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were talking just about offense only, but mine would be special teams. You know, our special teams have struggled, especially punting the ball. I mean, we didn't punt against Florida, but you're going to punt Saturday. It's bound to happen. You can't go every game without punting.
When's the last time we punted the ball?
Akron. And that was just because we were, I don't know, I guess we let our foot off the gas a little bit. But, yeah, I would like to see something happen on special teams, a block field goal, block punt, something. But don't give up any turnovers on your special teams.
No, that would be deadly this Saturday. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Radio Overtime continues. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Martin is up next. What's up, Martin?
Not too much, Jake. Jake, I seen more of the Boston Celtics got Blake Griffith.
Yes, sir.
And I want to know if you knew who he played for last year and what he averaged.
Martin, he played for the Brooklyn Nets last year, and he averaged 6 points and 4 rebounds. But that was... bad coaching. He should have been playing more. He's a great player. He's going to be a good guy to fill in now that Rob Williams is going to be out for a little bit.
Yes. Is he that good, though? I know he was big time when he first came out.
No, when he was with the Clippers, that was something to watch. I mean, watching him have two iconic dunks through that era, I mean, that was just awesome to see.
He's out of his prime now, Martin, but he's still very solid. He's going to play hard. He's a good defender, and I mean, he's not going to be like Rob Williams also. I mean, he's going to be he's just a good player to fill in until he gets back.
Yes. And what I'm hearing is the football team in recruiting reached out to Sean Bishop of Carnes.
Yeah, I think they're still after him as well. You know, it was one of those things they kind of backed off there for a minute, mainly just because he committed to Coastal Carolina, and I think there was some stuff going on where he had some influences outside of the family, and he just kind of went with that. But I think we're still recruiting him pretty heavily, and I think you have to, Martin, considering what we have at the running back room right now. You know, it's not bad, but it's not the best in the world either. So I think we're just going to continue to recruit him and hopefully get him on campus next year.
Yes. And I thought that the injury to Lennis Whitehead was the one that hurt us the most.
Yeah, that one, is interesting because, I mean, he probably could have made an impact on this team. And yeah. I didn't expect to see Justin Williams-Thomas or Dylan Sampson, you know, really get much playing time this year until that came out. But, you know, Dylan Sampson, you know, if he stays healthy, he can be, you know, that speed back that we're looking for. And Justin Williams-Thomas, you know, he could be that power back that we're looking for.
Yes.
It's just a matter of getting them to where they need to be athletically and just keeping them healthy.
And do you think D. Williams will start Saturday against LSU?
I don't know.
He might. I think he'll play a little bit more. I don't know if he'll start, but
they said this morning in the Knoxville Sentinel, they say would either start or say would start or come off the bench and do well.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Of course, you know, Warren Burrell, he's not the greatest defensive back that we had, but, you know, he was probably the best that we could put out there at the time.
I'm going to tell you this, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
I always thought D. Williams would be the best because he was number two or number three cornerback in junior college.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he had a real good chance of starting when they first got him.
Yeah, that's an interesting stat there, Martin. I'm interested to see what actually happens this weekend.
Yes. All right, I appreciate you, Jake.
Appreciate you, Martin.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Martin doing what Martin does best, dropping recruiting information.
Yeah, so I'm looking at D. Williams 24/7 right now. Martin's right. He was the number two cornerback out of the JUCO class last year. And he's already 22 years old as a junior, so a little bit old, but I don't care.
Hey, I don't care if he's old.
As long as he plays and as long as he's good.
You know, there was a thing for a while, especially back in the early 2000s, we had it with Kelly Washington, guys that would go play baseball and then that not pan out, and they're like 22 and 23 years old coming in as freshmen. Essentially.
Yeah.
Like you had grown men out there basically against kids.
There's a guy in Memphis right now. He didn't play baseball or anything. He plays basketball. His name's DeAndre Williams, and he's 27 years old. And he's like three kids, and yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Good job, Penny.
Well, I mean, that could make an impact. I mean, depending on, you know, how much – you know, weight you put on between the years of 18 and 27. I mean, you got to think, that's a grown man going up against kids.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like the argument, oh, well, it's like when the Bills were really bad. And someone made the comment, I bet that Alabama could beat the Buffalo Bills.
No.
So they released like a dummy line on it. And it was Buffalo minus 34.5. You know why that is? Because those are grown men.
There's levels to it. I mean, every single player in college, they were the best player on their high school team. And then in college, I mean, in the NFL, you've got the best players from college are all on the NFL roster. And
yeah.
Some of those dudes don't even make rosters, so just a huge talent gap.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, most of the time, guys humble themselves that don't make it to college. They were the big guy in high school, never got any offers. Some of them, they come down off their high horse. Others still talk about it, and others fake it.
A few years ago, you remember that Kentucky team that went 40-0 and then lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four?
Yes.
I remember there's people out there that are like, oh, that Kentucky team could play. I think it was the Bobcats at the time. They were
no,
like,
they couldn't.
They're like 7-59 or whatever in that shortened season, but I still don't think they would beat Bobcats. Just different levels. There's levels to it.
No. A Charlotte Bobcats reference. Here on Overtime.
I wasn't expecting that.
Nope. They did have some cool uniforms, though.
I just really like Kemba when he's on the Bobcats before they change to the Hornets.
Oh, Emeka Okafor, man.
Emeka Okafor, Josh McRoberts was on that team.
Adam Morrison.
I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did Michael Jordan literally draft every bust that he could ever draft?
He's the worst GM ever. I don't care. Claim him as the GOAT all you want, but he's a terrible GM.
I mean, realistically, his NASCAR team has more success than his NBA team.
Yeah, I mean, that's more up your alley. I know he has Bubba Wallace, right?
Bubba Wallace.
Is he a Jordan athlete?
He's a Jordan athlete, yeah. Drives, well, currently driving the 45, but, yeah, his numbers in NASCAR are 23 and 45. But, he normally drives the 23, but for owner's points, they got him in the 45. But, yeah, he's got him and Kurt Busch, which Kurt Busch, he's basically done for his career after the concussion. That's something that's been a problem with NASCAR this season, is all the injuries that are resulting from these new cars. But no, Michael Jordan as an owner in the NBA, not good.
No. I mean, his team's in disarray right now. I mean, Miles Bridges had that domestic assault charge over the summer, and he's still not even picked up by anybody.
P.J. Washington's going to owe child support for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Their one vet they have, Gordon Hayward, does Twitch in his off time. So, yeah, not a lot of veteran presence on that team.
No, I mean, you've got LaMelo.
And I wouldn't blame him if he wanted to leave. I mean, it is his team and his city now, but I don't see them ever being a championship contender.
No, they're not going to be.
They have a terrible culture, I guess is the word.
Sucks for them. Charlotte's a fun town.
I do like Charlotte. It's 4 hours from here.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why a lot of people from my neck of the woods had trouble picking an NFL team when you had four that were of equal distance.
Mm.
Panthers, Bengals, Titans, Falcons, all basically within equal distance.
I forgot about the Bengals. Because Ohio's not far from here.
No, and you got to think, we're already, like where I grew up, we're already 50 minutes north anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like 3.5 hours to Cincinnati. It's 3.5 hours to Nashville. Mm. Probably about 4.5 to Atlanta, and then about 4.5 to Charlotte.
This is Knoxville's a great location. Like, I know, just to relay it back to Tennessee football, I mean, recruiting wise, like, it's in the middle of everything. I mean, you've got great talent everywhere in the state of Tennessee, obviously, but you got talent in Charlotte, like Jake just said, Atlanta, Nashville, what else? Ohio. I mean, just a great, I guess, geographically and for recruiting.
That it is. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on with us. Let's get back to it. Phil is up next. What do you say, Philly?
Marty's Larry, Jake Smoke.
Philly.
How y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good. Just got off work. Didn't have a chance to do any show prep or research. So we're just kind of talking about whatever.
Well, looks like you went straight to phone lines. I guess you don't need preparation for that, do you?
Nope. Y'all carry me.
But that's pretty cool, y'all talking about recruiting. I guess it goes football and basketball both. You put Knox around 200 miles, there's a lot of players in football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That there is. And, Phil, you can remember this. Like, back in the 90s and early 2000s, before Clemson and South Carolina decided they were going to be a good football program, we'd go down there and get whatever we wanted. That was the good thing about that, is we got a lot of players out of South Carolina during that time span.
Yeah, and Douglas of Barry Dickey said if you recruit the I-75 corridor from Detroit all the way down to Tampa, Florida, there's a lot of football players.
Oh, I mean, you look at the University of Florida, you can take a 7-iron, lay a golf ball down, even if you shank it, you're going to hit a 5-star.
Oh, that's right. It's interesting. I heard TJ calling in. I guess he's crying his beer over a I found out that his quarterback's not a pro quarterback. I mean, that's obvious. He just reminds me of Tyler Bray choking clutch, you know what?
Well, that's just that's what Will Levis is going to do. I think he's going to end up costing somebody their job in the NFL because they're going to draft him in those first five picks. He's going to get picked up, and then somebody's going to lose their job in about 2 years.
You think he'll be one drafted that high?
Well, I mean, Phil, you got to think about the people that have those positions. None of them have common sense. They're just going off of whatever people have wrote about them.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Guys, I think Tennessee can win this game, but I'm always talk about going down and blowing them out and all that. I just, we haven't blown out a good team in a long time, so why is this going to start Saturday?
Phil, I'm not there yet. I don't think we're going to blow them out, but I think that we're going to win. Now, it might be a one-score game, but I do think we come out of there with a win. I'm just following the timeline of what it's been like in Baton Rouge since 2000.
Well, you know, I lost since that 2001 game. Tennessee probably could have won three games that they could. I mean, the Derek Dooley game with all the players on the field, and then that quarterback, LSU quarterback fumbling the ball. And the leading score touchdown. You remember that?
That was That was a very bad day, Phil. That was probably one of the highest of emotions I've ever felt, and then the lowest, all within a matter of about 5 minutes.
So, it's time to repay them, you know?
It is time to repay them. I mean, they're the reason. I wouldn't say they're the reason, but that game in 2001, that's what started the downward spiral for Philip Fulmer.
Yeah.
He never recovered after that game.
Don't forget about basketball, too. Anthony Jordan screwing us and the refs, 2019.
We still owe them for that, yeah. Yep.
Well, maybe that's a good sign. We beat them last year in basketball. Maybe that's payback's coming.
Oh, wouldn't it be nice to just go down there and just rack up about 50 points to their 30?
Well, I think a high-scoring game favors Tennessee. If it's a low-scoring game, it favors LSU.
I'd agree with that. You know, like I said, I just hope we get on there and win. If we win in a big way, we just tell the University of Tennessee, hey, we're staying for another night and we're going to crash Bourbon Street.
Are the Braves going to choke tonight?
I don't know.
You got the Nationals, right?
They're playing the Marlins.
Oh, sorry. That's the Mets.
So, I mean, if the Mets win, it cuts to one, and then the Braves lose again tonight, and the Mets win, the Mets playing a doubleheader. They'll be tied again. They'll have to win that last game.
That's going to be an interesting race. Of course, my Cubs, they ain't no good. They're going to have to build for the future. You know, they build a World Series program, franchise, and then just burnt the building down last year.
What's the old Tom Brady thing going to do now Tom Brady's going to get a divorce?
Well, I guess he's going to download this app called Tinder, and he's going to hopefully match with Tom on Tinder.
Well, you said it, I did. Y'all hang in there. Y'all, so you're not going to have a show tomorrow?
Not going to have one tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday.
Well, I'll give you more time to pray for the next day, right?
Exactly.
All right, see you.
Appreciate it, Phil. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Hey. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Brian Kelly having some not-so-nice words to say about Tennessee. Basically saying that we run the same formation.
I mean, if he believes that, then good luck to you.
I mean, what else can we say to that? I mean,
he clearly hasn't watched a second of film before he said that.
No, the guy's a clown. Tennessee's still a 2.5-point favorite. I like the Tennessee spread, man, but a part of me saying just go ahead and take the under.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we win, and I like the spread, but I don't know about this game, man. I just don't. Here I was cheaping it up for Florida a week and a half ago, and I'm sitting here going into LSU, a team that I feel like their offense is not as good as Florida's.
No, I think.
I think their defense is better.
I think that. Yeah, I think I wouldn't say it's by much though, because I would say their defense is a little bit better than Florida's. But on the other hand,
it's not night and day difference.
No, and Jaden Daniels is no Anthony Richardson. I mean, just compare the two. One's built like a toothpick. One's like freaking
an NFL body.
He's massive. He's like LeBron built almost. I mean.
Well, I mean, and you just watch Florida. You watch what Anthony Richardson can do. And then you watch the film on LSU. Because if Daniels doesn't play, we might actually win by 20 points or more.
Yeah, if they're going to play Neusmeyer or however you say his name, Nussmeyer.
Nussmeyer.
They're screwed, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, look at some of these quotes. Brian Kelly said that he needs to play more aggressive, stating that Jaden Daniels is throwing zero interceptions. But he says basically that he's being very conservative on his throws. And I think TJ mentioned that he can't really pass the ball. So, I mean, that's a good chance for our secondary to step up and maybe get an interception or
just get some pressure to him.
Yeah.
That front seven, the defensive line, Amari Thomas, Byron Young, Latrell Bumpus, get back there, get pressure. Rack up more sacks than what you did in the Pitt game.
Speaking of our front seven, we only allow 98 rushing yards per game.
Nice.
Which is pretty good. But we do allow 303 passing yards per game.
I mean, that's going to be expected, though. Yeah,
pretty good, I guess, pretty much tells you what you've seen all year, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what we thought it would be. You know, we were worried about I was worried about the linebackers. I think John Dunn was more worried about the secondary, or it might have been vice versa. I'm not sure which, but, you know, the front seven, I was worried about them. I think it might have been me, but because we did give up so many rushing yards to the quarterback last year. It didn't matter who it was. We were going to give up rushing yards to the quarterback. But I was like, maybe the secondary's picked it up a little bit. Not really.
No, and I mean, Anthony Richardson, he did scramble a little bit on us, but he only rushed for 62 yards. He did have two touchdowns, but most of those were in goal line situations.
Wasn't he their leading rusher?
Yes, he was, with 62 yards.
And then the next closest person was, what, ETN with 42?
35 on 9 attempts.
Wow. So, I mean, that just proves we can shut down the running game. You just got to just give me two good defensive backs in this next recruiting class. Just give me two.
I mean, we have a ton committed, but we don't have like a breakaway five-star like McDonald's All-American – or not McDonald's. Sorry, Under Armour All-American or Army All-American. I just want a dog for a DB in this recruiting class.
Yeah, like a – you don't even have to go as far as a Terry Fair or a Deion Grant. I mean, give me a Jabari Greer.
Give me a Jalen Ramsey. Just a guy that'll get up in your face, let you know about it. Although he has looked pretty mid this year, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he's not been what he should be, Nashville product.
Should have been Vol.
He should have been a Vol. And of course, that was during that weird cycle. I think Von Bell.
Von Bell, too.
Was in that class as well. Was he not?
I think so, and I don't know if he's in this class, but Harrison Smith, the Viking safety.
Yep.
He went to Knox Catholic, right?
I think so.
Right up the street. But, yeah, so Brian Kelly's exact quote about our offense, he was asked about our up-tempo offense. He said, in one instance, they can't do a lot of things either. So if they're going to snap the ball with 20 seconds on the play clock, there's not a lot of motion, not a lot of changing formations. They've got a lineup left to right, too. So to play fast allows you, obviously, a pretty clean look at what you're getting. But on the other side, you're right. You can't do a lot defensively. And he follows that up by saying, basically, when you have an up-tempo offense, he wants the defense just to not think, basically just react and play aggressive.
Can we just go down there and just beat the brakes off of them? Like, I already didn't like Brian Kelly. And this just made it worse. This guy is a clown. Just a bona fide clown.
I think he's obviously a good coach, but he...
Is he?
He is. We would have taken him a million times over any of the clowns we've had in the past. But he's been like acting out of... I guess the word is like out of character since he's been hired there.
We had the fake Southern accent, which made a lot of more people mad than what you would expect. Because it's like, does this guy think we're an idiot? Or that we're idiots? Does this guy think that we are stupid? Like, does he actually think that we're going to listen to this and think that's actually how he talks?
Northern guy thinks the South is just full of idiots and morons. It's probably how they think.
Oh, it is. I know that for a fact. The guy, honest to God, thought that they were going to buy that. Meanwhile, everyone's going to ignore the fact that he put a kid on a scaffold, essentially, scissor lift, on a windy day and got the kid killed. Everybody wants to ignore that.
I don't know why he's talking right now on my phone. Speaking of, he must be listening. But, yeah, he's just – I don't know, man. I think they'll give him time. I don't – I don't think that this year is make or break, but, I mean, even the reporters were fed up with him after losing one game. That girl that came in, he was like, oh, you're late, blah, 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 blah. And she wasn't late, actually. She was, like, right on time, and she said, if you win a game, then maybe I'll be on time.
Yeah, win football games, maybe I'll be on time.
Yeah. Just – he doesn't seem like the play – it's just like he's the very opposite of Coach O. You know, like, all the players love Coach O. Everybody loved Coach O. Like,
the fans loved him. I mean, they knew what the direction of the football program was with him.
Like,
they knew that if they didn't have Joe Brady or Joe Burrow, they weren't going to win a national title. But the fact of the matter is, everybody loved Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
And people were sad to see him go because they loved the guy.
I wouldn't say he's like their Fulmer, but I mean he's still loved there. I mean, obviously Coach O's not going to come back and be their AD or anything, but no. Like I still, besides him trying to hit on like the vice president's wife or whatever down there, I mean, there's not like, I haven't heard anything bad about him like character wise. I mean, he didn't send somebody up on a moving, whatever you just said,
scissor lift
to film a practice and end up killing the kid. So.
I mean, the thing is, like, it was very windy that day. Like, nobody with a brain would have operated that thing that day.
Yeah, let me find it real quick.
But, I mean, it's one of those deals, like I mentioned last week, you know, we were talking about Urban Meyer and if people would take him after what all happened in Jacksonville. Depends on how good you are at football. If you're good at football, guess what? You're going to get a job. Brian Kelly did enough at Notre Dame. And he kept his job. And that's why he is at LSU, is because he is good enough at football. They don't care about what he's done. They only care if he can put something in the win column. He's 4-1 right now. He's about to be 4-2 after this weekend. Because I really do think that we're going to go down there. We're going to win the game. I don't know if it's going to be by a little or a lot, but I think Tennessee walks out of Baton Rouge with a dub.
No, I'd agree with that. I know we have John Dunn coming up a little bit, but this summer I told him 45-42, and that was before I'd even see us play a game or them. I don't think it'll be that high scoring, but if it is high scoring, it does favor us. And speaking of Brian Kelly, so the death of the student manager, Declan Sullivan, this was in 2010, so this is like right in the beginning of his Notre Dame career. On October 27th, Notre Dame student Declan Sullivan died following the collapse of a tower used to film Notre Dame practices. After the 30-foot crash, Sullivan was rushed to the South Bend Hospital, where he passed away. There's been, in the days that have followed since the death of the student, hired by Brian Kelly, we have not seen any remorse or any inkling of feeling from him. In fact, what we have seen is a man totally out of touch and unfit to be trusted with the lives of student athletes.
Speaks a lot.
Kelly's first press conference following the incident featured him preaching the importance of getting in a productive practice and his prior experience with poor weather conditions.
Wow.
I agree. It says, how can any parent entrust their life of their child to a man who's more concerned with the X's and O's than a student's life? How can any institution stand behind a man with such backwards priorities?
You know, it's like looking at a couple that is split up and they now both have new boyfriend, new girlfriend, right?
Right.
And it's like both of their situations are much worse than what they were originally. It's like, you know, now would be a good time to just make up and get back together. Right now would be a good time for Notre Dame and Brian Kelly to make up and just get back together, because what they've got at both their respective institutions right now, it's not working.
I will say Marcus Freeman, he started off terribly, but he did win at North Carolina by a pretty big margin, which I was not expecting. So good for him, but I don't think either coach works out long term there.
No, they definitely won't. And that's something that we're going to get into in the next hour when John Dunn comes on. Got an interesting topic coming up here at the top of the hour. Hour number one in the books, hour number two of overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.